don't know what else we can give you. I don't know how much more we can provide. You guys, it's the Loftus Party Podcast. Now, you know we've been doing this new thing that I'm totally stoked about. We're doing an extra segment for the people on Patreon. So there's even more podcast over there. And as if that wasn't enough, holy smoke, we got so much good news. We got the election right around the corner. But I just found out this. Gimlet, are you sitting down?
I am.
Good. I'm glad. Here's what I found. There's a company called Chartable. And I think Chartable wants our business. You know why they want our business there, Liberty Gypsy? Because, here we go. Because you are listening to, ladies and gentlemen, a verifiable hit podcast in Greece. I want to say a huge shout out and a big thank you to all our listeners in Greece. This company, Chartable, they send me this email. They're like, hey, you might want to check out our services because you're charting the Loftus Party Podcast. You're charting. We're number 209 in Greece. We are number soon we're going to be doing remotes from Greece. We're going to be broadcasting from the island. We're not going to be able to move. We're going to be half naked and covered in suntan oil and eating baklava like it's going out of style. Huge shout out to our listeners in the States and in Greece and in all points in between. I know we've got some fans in Australia and other nations, so it's wonderful. We try to enlighten. We try to entertain. And here's the other thing. Oh, my gosh. You're not going to believe who we have on the show today. A little later on, we're going to be joined by Christy Swanson. Now, a lot of you know her from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's fantastic. She's got a huge body of work. She was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. She was in The Chase. She was in a ton of other films. She's got a new project now I think it's out. I think it's streaming. I'm going to let her tell you guys about that. She's fantastic. And just a little humble brag, Christy and I did a show together. She's a barrel. We're big fans. So it's going to be a little inside baseball with Christy Swanson. So there you go. We got so much show. Oh, we're going to be talking about The Mandalorian, the premiere of Mandalorian. There might be some spoilers. We will give you a heads up. Don't worry. But now, with the election right around the corner, we got to dive in. Gimlet, how are you feeling about things? How are you feeling about this 2020 presidential election?
I am just on pins and needles. I have did all I could do. I took me to the polls. I took other people to the polls. I'm harassing people to go to the polls. Done what I can do.
Yeah, you did what you could do. I'm didn't what I can do too. I already voted. I voted by mail. That's how it had to be this year with the whole working in New York, living in California, going back and forth, trying to avoid the Wuhan, trying to avoid the China virus. A friend of mine is traveling today. This is just a side note. A friend of mine, she is a writer-producer on a show that is down in Nawlins. They filmed down in Nawlins. And she just posted on Facebook. She's like, I'm traveling. Send out good vibes. I'm so nervous. So I sent her a little message. I'm like, I've been doing a lot of traveling. I have to constantly remind myself. I flew down to Texas in May and was doing shows. Flew back to New York. I've flown to Nashville. I've flown back and forth. So, you guys, it's don't let the fear rule you. Okay. So,
well, I'm thinking. I heard last week that we're flying about 1 million miles a day, and there have not been any reports of cases being caught on an airplane.
Well,
the air goes through HEPA filters and things like that, so yeah, they're actually doing okay with the
travel. They're keeping that a closely guarded secret. I saw a buddy of mine, a very good friend of mine, big time Democrat. He's voting for Biden 110%. There's some new study out saying that They can directly trace the Trump rallies to over 700 deaths. They know for a fact that a Trump rally brings death. 700 dead. They're trying to really just hammer home this fear thing. I don't know how you do that. How do you directly link a Trump rally with any death?
It's an estimation made by economists. And at the very bottom of the article, it says this analysis has not yet been peer reviewed. So it hasn't even passed the hurdle that gets you to maybe you're right, because about half of peer-reviewed articles are then proven wrong.
So you know what I should do? I should report his post. I should report his post as fake or misleading news. That's what I should do. Wow. How about, here's one that has me. Okay, so we'll talk about that. The election,
just,
you guys.
I find it, I just find it hysterical that we can tag cases and deaths back to Trump rallies, and we can tag cases and deaths back to Sturgis, but we can't tie any cases and deaths back to all of these riots and rallies we've had going on for months.
Right? Those are mysterious. Those are mysterious.
Those are mysterious.
You know where else they're having a hard time proving? Like the nursing homes where Cuomo's like, hey, send the COVID-19 patients. They don't correlate that at all. In fact, they're like, hey, Cuomo, you should write a book about how good you did. You did so good, Cuomo. You are a favorite. All right.
I heard that book isn't selling very well.
It is on a grander scale. And this is what, you know, we talk about this all the time. And I can't seem to let it go. I'm like a dog with a bone. I'm like a dog with a bone on this one. It's the power of the media and big tech. It's kind of good that, just as like a canary in a coal mine, that if Cuomo's book isn't selling very well, that gives me a little bit of hope. That gives me a little hope and a little bit of optimism that the truth will still somehow get out. And the truth, they can try to stop it as much as they can, and they can try to convince people like, oh, he did a great job. He did a great job, you guys. He did a great job. But watching, and I'm going to kind of carve myself out here from your normal everyday citizen, but I would get up in the morning, and Cuomo would do these press conferences, and they were so melodramatic. If we don't get these ventilators, people's going to die. They're going to die. You pick the people that are gonna die. And then Trump's like, dude, you got the ventilators. They're there. You got them in storage. I don't have no ventilators in storage. You're a liar. You're a dirty liar. And Trump's like, no, they're there. Oh, you meant the stockpile. Oh, the stock. Yeah, we got some in the stockpile. Every day it was like that. And to try to herald Cuomo as some kind of hero and knowing what's going on when it was far from it. But we could go down memory lane with that until the cows come home.
Well, and then Dr. Fauci saying New York did everything right. New York did a good job. And that's it. I already saw Dr. Fauci out there this morning and my head almost exploded. I'm like, you are such a media whore. And you have gotten nothing right in this entire pandemic. And now you're just trying to scare people and you're doing it for political purposes. And I can't stand you.
I saw, and I will post it at theloftistparty.com. I'm insanely proud of the website today. Today is one of those days where everything just lined up. We're recording this on a Sunday, you guys, 2 days before the election. Today's one of those days where everything just lined up and the way the website is and the articles and the stuff, it's just perfect. It's one of those perfect days. I love everything about the website today. I'm going to add one more thing that I just, and you reminded me of it when you're talking about Fauci. I watched a very eye-opening interview. It was in England. I don't think I can't remember which BBC channel it was. Might have been 4, might have been 5. But this dude is interviewing some health expert that has just told Boris Johnson and the government there, we got to go into a lockdown. We have to go into a lockdown. And he's an Irishman, and he's a very well-informed, scientific Irishman, and he's just a voice on the telly. And the kid running the interview, I say kid, he's probably, 30-something, he's asking some very basic questions, like, have you, as a scientist and as a man of science, have you added up, like, what the cost of another lockdown is in human life and in financial terms? Have you compared, like, what is the financial cost of going into a lockdown? How many lives will we save by going into lockdown? And then if we don't go into a lockdown, how many, just like that, just compare them side by side. And this Irish scientist dude was just skirting the question. And finally, this British dude is like pinning him down. And then the Irish guy's like, well, your question's stupid. We've got to stop the virus. And I got to post this interview. And then the dude running the interview is like, I'm sorry, did you say you're going to stop the virus? Because you cannot stop the virus. You can slow it down. You can slow it. Is that what you meant? And then it was great. And it got dicey. And like, if you're going to use words like stupid, I'll end the interview right now. Please don't disparage the question. Blah, 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 blah. We got to be civil. It's a great interview. And then finally, the guy admits that no, he has not compared the two things side by side. And then, of course, the interviewer, in classic, never ask a question you don't know the answer to, he's like, well, it's in the newspapers. The newspapers have reported it. And by going into another lockdown in the UK, and Australia was reporting this as well, more people will, it will be insanely expensive, first of all, and then it will kill more people than COVID. Yet this guy claims to have never compared them side by side, and he's still advocating for a lockdown. Like, wait a minute. I just informed you a lockdown will kill more people and cost us an absolute fortune to boot. Money is secondary, and the guy's still advocating for a lockdown. That was terrifying. It was terrifying. It would appear, in my humble opinion, that anybody advocating for another lockdown now, it's just a flat-out power grab. Oh, my gosh. And then here's the other thing. The guy lets it slip out. He's like, well, the National Health Service, that's the socialized medicine in England, everybody. He goes, well, the National Health Service, the NHS, we were barely hanging on. We were hanging on by threads before COVID. We had to beg, borrow, and steal just to keep the NHS going. We had to beg doctors to come. The NHS, and it's like, whoa, there's a little peak. So your socialized medicine is hanging on by a thread? And you have to beg, borrow, and steal to keep it going? Holy crap.
They had a bad flu season. Gosh, I think 2017-18. And they had to like just delay 70,000 procedures.
People need to be aware of this. They need to be as they listen, and I will let you advocate for increasing Medicare, Medicaid. You can make your best arguments. And I don't want to be a negative Nancy, but you gotta before we can really begin, you have to tell me that you understand why the NHS is barely hanging on by threads. You have to tell me why doesn't anybody ever report on frickin' Massachusetts? Remember Romney Care that he was so proud of? Like,
yeah.
How is that doing? That's a great article. Somebody should do that. But for real, is it costing a fortune? How much is the federal government shoring that up? I heard this rumor. I read an article about this once, and I shouldn't even. Maybe I should bring it up. Who cares? That before Teddy Kennedy passed away, he did some kind of like backroom deal for Massachusetts just to shore up the financial, like they'll always get like extra money from the federal government. You guys, this is what we're talking about. You've got the left going nuts about COVID-19, and they're talking about Obamacare again, and Biden is bringing it up, and we're going to do this better. And it sounds hacky. I know, as a comedian, it sounds incredibly hacky. But like, does the DMV work great? Does the DMV work great? That is your government. That's your government going, here's how we do it. Here's how we do it. The DMV. And I don't want hospitals to look like that. You know what I hate about the DMV? When you're standing in line and you're just full of rage because you're like, this shit sucks. This is horrible. That's not the way it's supposed to be. I can't stand the bureaucracy. I don't like this place. It shouldn't take too long. This is the embodiment of everything I don't like about big government. And then, so you got that feeling going on for like an hour and a half. And then when they call your number and you go up to the window, you can't be pissed off. You cannot be upset because that person on the other side of the window will just ruin your world. They will just go, oops, I didn't have the paper. Oops, I can't find the stamp. Oop. They will find a million ways to get you to have to come back another day, jump through another hoop, all that other crap. So you've got to pretend to be a little ray of sunshine when you go get up there. And that's horrible. And that is, I think that's the best argument against socialism. That you have to lead this split personality life. It's just the worst. It's just the worst. Oh, Gimlet.
What?
In California, the Thanksgiving rules. The Thanksgiving rules. Because of COVID. These morons. Who said the government was in charge of Thanksgiving? Who said the government was in charge of holidays? Isn't that just offensive?
Yeah. I mean, I can honestly say I've heard many people openly saying they're going to do what they want. So I don't know how well it's going to go. I've heard he's going to have officers out door knocking in LA, but then I woke up this morning and saw your temporary governor is now requiring people to get a COVID test within 3 days of arriving in New York, and it has to be negative or you won't be let in.
What?
So I don't know what that means. If you, as you may, travel outside of New York, if you have to get a COVID test before you can come back.
Holy crap. I told the story, you guys, on last week's podcast about me coming back into New York, being surrounded by National Guard, whatever, military people and cops. And it was the classic Germany 1938. Papers, please. You cannot continue on your travels unless you show us your papers. We need your address, your phone number, your contact. It was horrible. It was horrible. And now they've dialed it up. You have to show proof of a test?
It says, with coronavirus cases surging throughout the United States, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced Saturday that most travelers must now get COVID-19 tests before and after arrival in the state.
That should be the end of him. That should be the end of him politically. It really should.
The new policy replaces a previous advisory list of states which travelers were required to quarantine for 14 days upon arriving in New York from. Thanksgiving is going to be complicated, since Cuomo, adding that college students will be returning home and families will be getting together.
Well,
and you have to get your result within 3 days of arriving in the state, which is even more complicated because depending on where you go for a test, you could get your results the next day or you could get them 3 days from now. So if you did it 5 days before and your test comes back in 24 hours, you have to go get another test because it's not within 3 days.
Oh, my goodness. Just get out. Just leave. Just leave. It's not worth it, you guys. Get out of New York. Get out of New York. Get out of California. It's not worth it. These states have to fail on an epic scale. On an epic scale. Ooh, I did post this. I did post this. It's this crazy video, and it's wild to watch, of the traffic to get out of Paris. This insane traffic jam. They're leaving Paris in droves. Because you had that, you had a terror attack recently, and now they're talking about another lockdown. And the people in Gay Paris are like, screw this, screw you, Macron, we are gone. Like, Paris is going to be a ghost town. It's spectacular video, just meaning it's on an epic scale. You'll look at it and you'll go, holy crap, that's a lot of cars. That is a lot of cars getting out of Paris. People, it's not supposed to be like this. And no one, except for this show, is bringing up Sweden. Like Sweden, everyone else is like, oh, cases are going up. Deaths are slowly, like they had a slight uptick in deaths. Sweden had a downtick. Like not only are they doing better, they're doing phenomenally better. The lockdowns don't work.
They just delay the inevitable.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you can hide out as long as you want. And I remember saying it on this show, and I already wish I had it. Like when Tom Hanks got it back in Australia. I'm like, okay, they should have had a party. Whenever somebody gets the coronavirus light one, they should just let them out of quarantine, spread that around, get coronavirus light. It's so much better. That's what I'm so jealous when Trump goes around and does these rallies, because he's, you know, he had it like a couple weeks ago and he's already bing bang boom, he's out and about just crushing it. Okay, we're gonna have more about the election. We're gonna have more about Trump and the rallies and the polls and Biden and Hunter's laptop and big government and big tech and censorship and all kinds of stuff. We're gonna be talking about Sean Connery. We're gonna be talking about 007 as well. And we're gonna be talking about Mandalorian and all kinds of good stuff. But when we come back, we're going to have Christy Swanson on the show. Holy crap. What is this? And this is free. Shoo. Stick around.
As a small business owner, you deserve more. More confidence, more connectivity, more of the tools that help your business thrive. And at Cox Business, you can expect more from us. We don't just have sales reps. We have perfect plan identifiers, people who will work with you to make sure your business gets everything it needs and nothing that it doesn't. Your business deserves more, and that's why you can expect more from Cox Business. Call 800-526-8572 to switch today.
Today, this breakfast isn't just breakfast. It might be the first McDonald's breakfast you're having at McDonald's again. This lunch might be a weekly tradition you hadn't had in weeks. And this dinner might be the first one you bought for not just you in a while. Whatever this order is for you, McDonald's will be here to take it.
Get more of the chicken you love with a delicious McChicken sandwich for $1. And for an extra buck, add a refreshing Dr. Pepper. Dining rooms are starting to reopen in certain communities at participating McDonald's. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Ladies and gentlemen, Christy Swanson is on the show. Now, she doesn't need much of an introduction, but just so that I can show I've done my due diligence, we'll just tick off a few of the films. Just a few. Sure, you got your Ferris Bueller. Sure, you got your Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Sure, you got your Big Daddy with the Sandman, Adam Sandler. Sure, you've got The Chase with a young man but goes by the name of Chuck. Don't call me Charlie Sheen. And her latest, her latest endeavor is with Dean Cain, and it is called Obamagate. You guys, Christy Swanson is here. Christy, how you doing?
I'm doing really good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Now, I should let people know, I felt horrible because we record this show on a Sunday afternoon. Sunday afternoon. I'm in New York. So I'm like, okay, Sunday noon is fine. Now, when you and I did a show together, see, that's right, you guys. I know people. When you were living in Los Angeles, you were living in LA, but now you're not.
Right. I'm in New Jersey.
You're in. Now, what made you pick Jersey over over California?
Well, I've kind of been wanting to leave California for quite some time.
That part
and,
makes sense.
And and there was just an opportunity that had come up for my husband for work.
Okay.
His old skating partner, Isabel Brasseur, is here and works at the Igloo Ice Rink. And that's the business my husband is in. He's a power skating coach and has like a whole hockey program for hockey players. And they offered him a really sweet deal here. And I said, let's do it. Let's go. I like an adventure. And my son wanted to go to prep school here on the East Coast. And so it works out. It's great.
Okay, so without getting into specifics, like where in Jersey, can you see the ocean?
I cannot. I am closer to Philly.
Okay.
I'm about an hour from the ocean, which is the same as LA. I lived in Valencia, and I was about an hour from the ocean when I lived in Valencia.
How long have you been in Jersey?
I moved here end of February.
Okay.
I was here 4 days. I set up the kitchen for the boys and left to go shoot a movie with Scott Baio.
Wow.
And yeah, I went back to LA to shoot. And then the lockdown happened. Our movie got shut down and locked, and I had to fly home. And then the lockdown happened. So my son had started, you know, eighth grade here in a brand new school. He was in it for 3 weeks, and then he was sitting in his room on a computer doing school.
Ooh,
so
that had to be very lonely.
It was strange because, like, I knew I was in New Jersey. Like, I knew I was in the state, but I didn't know where the hell I was for the longest time. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I went to the grocery store and, like, Lowe's or Home Depot. Like, that was my life for so many months. All of us, you know. That's all I didn't know my way around.
Dig
at
it.
All.
So. Dig it. Now, just my little backstory. Home is Los Angeles, and then I came out to the East Coast. I was working on a TV show with Kevin James, and now I was doing that again. This is a Netflix one, and I like the adventure of it. And I'm out on Long Island and Long Island, and I'm digging it. So here's one thing I'm always interested in, like. Does it feel like home yet? Like whenever you set up stakes in a new place, there's always that weirdness. You're like, oh, there's the grocery store. Oh, there's the bank. Oh, this is how I get home. Okay, now I know where I am. And then there's that weird moment where it's like, okay, I'm going back. And you know exactly where everything is. And you're like, oh, crap, this feels normal. Are you in, have you met that stage yet?
No, like I can drive around. I can drive around LA with my eyes closed. Like I know it so well. I know how to get through any traffic situation. I know all the shortcuts. You know.
Yeah.
I do not know my way around Jersey, and I cannot get used to the jug handles. That is weird. I don't know if you know what the jug handles are. It's like you can't make a right turn, or you can't make a turn at a stoplight. You have to take the jug handle to get around, and it's just so confusing.
get ready for a mountain of traffic tickets. A mountain. Because you're gonna make a right on red. You're just gonna make, I don't know what it's like in Jersey, but on Long Island, that's like that's like a crime against nature and a sin in the eyes of God. I would get, and they send you like a picture, like, here you are driving your car, making a right on red. And it's like at 2:30 in the morning, there's not another car on the road. And you're like, this is freaking proof of my innocence. Okay. So you're a Jersey girl, which yeah. is fantastic. You, I want to talk about some of your other projects. I have questions about The Chase. I have questions about Buffy, all that normal pedestrian stuff that I'm sure you're sick of talking about.
I got answers.
I want to talk about Obamagate because I think this is really, really interesting. And just so our listeners know, Obamagate, and this is what I love about, theater, and it's what I like about movies, is like how things get started. Someone had the idea to take the text messages between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, mm-hmm. and probably other people, and turn that into a stage play. And were you there from like word one, day one?
Yes, we did it last summer in DC. And I got the phone call from Dean Cain. He said, there's this project that Phelim McAleer has put together with Peter Strzok and Lisa Page's text messages and their meetings with Congress, their testimonies. And they want me to do it, and they were wondering, they would like you to do it also. And I said, a play? And he says, yeah, but all we have to do is read it on stage, you know, like love letters.
Yeah, a play. Yeah.
And you just read it out loud, and my jaw dropped, and I'm like, Dean, what? Are you kidding me? And he goes, no, I'm not kidding you. I go, Dean, we've worked together a million times. First of all, you know, I am a poor reader. I cannot read. I'm like dyslexic. And no, I can't do that. And in front of a live audience, the biggest fear of my life. No way.
Really?
You know, like,
I didn't know
yeah.
that was your biggest fear.
It's uncomfortable for me because I've been an actress 40 years, but I've always worked in this very small space, which is with the camera, and it's very yeah. sort of intimate setting. I've never been a stage actor, you know? And he goes, come on, Christy, you can do it. You know, he's the biggest cheerleader on the planet. And I go, have you ever done a play? He goes, nope. I go, oh my God. So he talks me into it. But I approach it like, you know what? It's good to face your fears. You know what? I've got to do this. This, I feel safe with Dean. I just have to read. I'm just going to have to work harder at it, you know? And I printed my script out with really big, you know,
giant font.
Font. Yeah. Huge font so that my
Comic
eyes would
Comic Sans. Did you go?
Yeah. It was like, my script was so thick. It was ridiculous. So I had big font because otherwise my eyes jump around when I read, you know, out loud. So
yeah.
So that's kind of how I did it. I just practiced, and I faced my fears. It was a good feeling. So we did that last summer. Then we did it again at CPAC, and then, we were possibly going to be doing it at the White House, but then COVID hit. So that right. didn't happen. And then they decided, you know what, we are going to elevate this. And we're going to bring in all these other characters like Comey and Brennan into the play because they have all these tweets and things that they have said.
Yeah.
And so they brought them in as characters in the play. And we did it in a theater on stage, and they filmed it. I think we had four or five cameras on it. And it's out now. It's Obamagate.com or Obamagatemovie.com.
ObamagateMovie.com.
Yeah, and it's also on YouTube. You can watch it. It's free. And it's only an hour, which is, you know, it's like an hour and 11 minutes. And it's a great way to understand what went on with those two and what, yeah. what they were up to. And without having to, because who's going to go sit down and read all that, you know? So it's a good entertaining way to educate yourself on what happened.
And it really is.
Yeah.
It really is. Now, as a as a production, and you're doing this thing live, and it's very exciting. And are there any like moments where you just know, like, ooh, this line, the audience loses it at this mind? Are there any big like shocks, audible gasps? Are there any big laughs?
When we did it in DC, there were several, and in spots where we didn't expect.
Yeah.
So that happened a lot. And that's, you know, because exciting. because we shot this recent one, Obamagate, during COVID, we didn't really have an audience. There were like maybe 10 people that we were allowed to have in there. So there's not like, you know, a huge, do you right. know what I mean? It's just a little yes. bit, it's a little bit, you hear some of it, but it's not like super loud theater kind of ambiance, but it doesn't yeah. matter because it flows really well, you know.
Now,
but it is
guys...
verbatim. It's their words. They wrote the words on their FBI phones. So
that's what I love about it. That's what I love about it. Now, do you guys think you would ever, do you see yourselves ever picking that back up? Or do you think the movie, there you go, you've done it, and it's now for the one for the ages?
I would imagine that it's done. I mean, we've done it. I don't know how much more they can do with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's out there. Everyone can watch it, you know. And I'm not recommending it because I'm in it. It's not like that. But I'm recommending it because I learned so much from it. And
yeah.
And a lot of my friends and family that have seen it, they're like, I had no idea. Oh my God. You know? So
yeah.
it's really good to educate yourself and be entertained at the same time.
And you know what I like about it? And I'm not blowing smoke. This is legit. They could not wait to make James Comey's memoir into a two-parter movie on Showtime. And it, mm-hmm. it was the title of his book. I watched it. It was hilarious. It was so over the top, earnest, and just so dramatic. I found it to be super funny for that reason.
I saw the trailer for it and I was like, I saw whoever was playing Trump.
Right,
was talking like the Godfather. I don't know. He's like, yes, you
It was a cross between the Godfather and Hannibal Lecter. I want you to come over for dinner. And it was hilarious. It was hilarious. Mm-hmm. But like, whoever had the idea for this thing,
but it wasn't meant to be hilarious.
Right, but
it was a drama.
Christy, that's what makes me laugh the hardest. That's what makes me laugh the hardest. Do you remember a show on NBC called Smash?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Smash was an all-star cast. It was produced by Steven Spielberg. It had like Angelica Houston in it. Everybody was a giant name. And it was supposed to be a gritty, behind-the-scenes look at how Broadway works. And the whole thing... was, and because Spielberg was producing it and these great names were attached and they had this awesome writer, and this is an inside look at Broadway, and in their little fictitious look, they were writing a Broadway musical about Marilyn Monroe, and they were so sure that this thing was going to be a hit, they were actually going to do the Broadway show about Marilyn Monroe on Broadway. And oh my Lord, was it hilarious. It was the funniest thing. It was so over the top. It was so cliche. It was so melodramatic. It was my favorite thing ever. I wrote on a show with one of the creators of The Simpsons, this guy Sam Simon, and he and I would just laugh until we cried over the show. It's my favorite thing. That's, you have to watch the Jim Comey bit. You have to watch the Jim Comey bit. Oh, but this is a great segue. This is a great segue because
yes.
I became kind of buddies with Charlie by writing on the show Anger Management. And you were in a movie with Charlie Sheen. You were in a movie called The Chase with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, well, we were both in Ferris Bueller. We were both also in Hot Shots. And then we did the chase.
Oh, my Lord. I totally forgot about Hot Shots.
Yeah, I just played like a little part in that, but it was fun.
But how much fun? So this is before Anger Management. This is before 2.5 Men.
Right.
This is before Dragon Energy and Tiger Blood, or Tiger Energy and Dragon Blood, all that stuff. How was it with working with Charlie?
How was
over
it
over and over again? Were you guys friends? Where'd you go to high school? You didn't go to high school with him, did you?
No, I went to school. I was homeschooled by my parents.
Okay, good for you. That's why you're normal and everybody loves you.
No, I did 8 through 12 at home, but I went all year round and finished early. I was working a lot, you know. I don't recommend homeschool for everyone. It's not for everyone, absolutely. But when you're working and professionally, it certainly is helpful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To be able to do your school that way. But yeah, I mean, Charlie, I can tell you that he's one of the funniest guys I've met. Like, he's,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Like, he's incredibly hilarious and incredibly smart. And I, you know, he and I were stuck in a car the entire film, right? So the whole film crew is out on the truck dragging us down the freeway. So it's just him and I in this car. And we had fun, you know, like we had a phone in there and we call up his dad and various family members and say hi and stuff. So, I mean, we had a lot of laughs.
Yeah. I really like that dude. You know, because when I was working with him and we were kind of palling around, this was after, you know, 2.5 Men, and there was a lot of craziness, but that whole family, I got to hang out with Martin quite a bit. It's just like, mm-hmm. there's just a quality to them, to their DNA, whatever. And like all of them insanely smart, incredibly gifted, comics. And it's a very rare thing. Like when we were putting shots together, you know, for the multicam, he knew where he was. He didn't want to block shots. He knew his lines. I just thought that guy, he'll be back. He will be back. He's not sitting on top of the mountain right now, but he will be back. Now, I want to talk about the Scott Baio thing. Like you said, you would move to Jersey and then you went back to L.A. to do a film with Scott Baio. What's that all about?
So that's a PureFlix movie.
Okay.
PureFlix is a streaming service sort of network,
yes.
right? So, yes. So I had done a PureFlix movie years ago. I think it was maybe 10 or 11 years ago, called What If, with Kevin Sorbo. And
Never heard of Kevin Sorbo.
And so they had this project that came about called Courting Mom and Dad. It's a great, I love PureFlix, you know, like all their movies are made by their viewers, basically, you know, it's all sort of like membership, donations, whatever, you know, like it, that's how they get these nice, like, they're nice family films that have, you know, I don't like to use the word faith-based because that doesn't sound very attractive to me. They're like faith-friendly.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have, you know, the good morals and values and all that stuff. And the kids in the film, we have 3 kids in the film and they were fantastic. You know, Scott and I play the mom and dad, obviously. And it was great. I don't know. I thought it was going to be coming out in September, but I probably because of COVID and maybe not getting the editing done on time or whatever, maybe it's been pushed.
Yeah.
But, did that with Scott. And I've known Scott, God, I met him in 1984, 83 or 84.
Wow.
So, you know, we've known each other through the business and, you know, run into each other various places or whatever, birthday parties for people. And so it was just nice to finally work together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that idea of faith friendly. I really
faith
think
friendly.
That is to me, and I'll let the cat out of the bag right here. I think that's the secret sauce. You tell good stories Not every story has to be a downer, you guys. And the Death Star doesn't have to blow up. It doesn't have to be a big science fiction. It doesn't have to be some piercing look at modern morality and blah, blah, blah. You just tell a nice story. You tell a good story that with good characters and people watching it, and they can enjoy it. It can have a happy ending. Here's a great secret. It's one of those things that just nobody advertises. The Hallmark Channel is crushing it. Absolutely crushing. Oh, yeah. It's boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl. It's you get families. They have problems. They want to save Christmas. It's just there should always be movies like that. I always want romantic comedies. They keep trying to kill romantic comedies. They kill they keep trying to kill like just straight up comedies, and they keep trying to kill just like warm movies. There's nothing wrong with a nice warm movie where you get a little worried, but it's all going to work out. That's just me. And you know what? Last time I checked, you catch more flies with honey.
Yes. Woo!
Okay.
That's right.
So, hey there, Jersey girl, Christy.
Joysy girl.
Joysy girl. You're going to be, are you getting loud at the grocery stores yet? Are you yelling? Are you screaming? I know in Long Island, you're allowed to yell. You're allowed to scream when you're in line at a convenience store. What's wrong with you? It's so liberating. It's so liberating. It's like,
I don't know. I'm glad I still have my California plates on my truck because people are more forgiving. I'm sure they don't like the way I'm, you know, because I'm reading the nav and I don't know where I'm going. And I'm sure I drive people crazy, but they don't honk at me because they see my California plate. So
same here. I have the California plates on my car. And whenever you do some little like pseudo douchey move, they don't even get mad at you. They're like, wow, that guy's far from home. Boy, I bet she is lost. Look at her go. God bless her. She's brave. Drove all the way out here. I don't know why I'm from Boston.
Okay. I don't know. I like
it. I'm gonna let you enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Thanks so much for being on the show. You're fantastic.
Thank you.
And keep me informed about new projects. I don't like finding out this way. I don't like finding out about your new movies in front of an audience.
Okay, I will stay in touch more for sure.
I will. Actually, I will. I will stay in touch more.
And you're in Long Island. You're not too far away from me, right?
Right. And it's on Long Island. They will beat you about. They will beat you about the head and neck if you say you're in Long Island. You're on, guy. You're on.
Okay. Well, we'll have to have coffee.
We will. We'll have coffee and some insanely good Italian food. Get ready to pack on the pounds, woman.
I'm ready.
Food is so much better out of here. All right. Go have a day. You're fantastic.
All right. Bye, Ben.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay. Odds are you're one of the people in America who's better off today than 3 years ago. And now you've got some smug Democrat calling you racist and trying to jam one hand in your ass and another in your pocket. So at a time when taxes are down, jobs are up, and the economy is way up, it'd be nice if there were a candidate who had more to offer than making you pay for other people's shit. Well, the eagle has landed. Say hello to President Donald J. Trump. He ain't just making America great again. Trump's doing things no president has ever done before. He's keeping promises, packing courts, defending the border, rebuilding our military, and making Chuck Schumer cry like a schoolgirl with two skinned knees. This president is 6'3" of let's put America first. And oh yeah, immigration, jobs, drug prices, nobody's got better numbers. The game has changed, and the Democrats are officially fucking crazy. So keep America great. Stand with Trump in 2020.
Christy Swanson, you guys. She's wonderful. She's fantastic. And very brave. Very brave there. When you got somebody who's grown up doing film, making that transition to doing stage, you know, live audience, that can be kind of daunting. And I just love the fact that that she went for it. And she did that show. She did that live show. So I'll just pump it again one more time. ObamaGateMovie.com. ObamaGateMovie.com. You can see it there. It's free. It's free. They're wonderful people. You can also catch it on YouTube. Okay. So, I got to pat myself on the back. Just a little bit, Gimlet and my Grecian friends. Yeah. I'm doing much better today than I thought. I really, really, really don't like this time of year. We have just done the thing. We have set our clocks back. So it's horrible. I can't stand it. And I want it to end. So now I'm going to really make a push this year because I talk a lot of smack and I really want to make a push this year. I know Marco Rubio has had it. This spring, when we move the clocks forward to where they should be, I want it to stay that way forever. This whole let's pretend it's an hour later when it's not really, and it's going to get dark at 4 o'clock. This is going to be, if we remain in like some kind of pseudo COVID lockdown, you talk about, this is when my depression really kicks in. This is when I dread is too much of a big word. It bums me out. It bums me out when it's 4 o'clock and it is dark outside. Is just, there's something just very, very wrong about it. And when you talk about it, it's already a drag in the best of times, in the best of times. And now it's like, oh, you're not allowed to work. Uh-oh, COVID-19. Cases are rising. Stay home. Don't go out. I have to think that it's just going to be a nightmare for people with seasonal affective disorders. And then, like, I'm not saying that I have that, you guys. I am not saying that I have that. Although years ago, I did tell my doctor, like, yeah, I get bummed out this time of year. And he's like, go to a tanning bed. Do a tanning bed. And so I did that for a while. Not enough to get cooked, but just to get that whatever's in the sunlight is in there. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll get one of those sun lamps and just, because they have them now where they don't bake you, but you get that kind of whatever, the gamma radiation. That's what I need. Do you get bummed out when the days are short like this?
Not like I did when I lived up north and you didn't see the sun even during the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
like
what,
in Chicago, you like didn't see the sun from late December until March.
Oh, it's
that
brutal.
Was awful.
It's brutal. Yeah. Growing up in Ohio, and just gray, cold, wet, gray, just so. And then, you know, years later, doing stand up and you know, working at clubs. I remember when I flipping discovered Denver, and holy smoke, those they got it great in Denver. I don't mind the snow. I don't dig the cold, but I can handle it, you know. But in Denver, they get snow. There's hills. There's mountains. There's stuff to do, and there's sunlight. There is sunlight, and that makes all the difference. So anyway, I don't want to.
Yeah, Utah was the same. Utah was the same.
There are places in Utah, a million, and I'm going to encourage everybody to do this. Drive across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Really, carve out some time this summer, this spring. Hell, do it this winter. I don't give a crap. but there's so many insanely beautiful places in this country that it's just off the chart. I love the smell. None of this is planned. We're just talking here. But when in spring break, on the couple times in college where my buddies, and then afterwards doing stand-up and driving from Ohio down to Florida, there's this crazy thing when you're going through like I think it's the Smoky Mountains or the Blue Ridge, whatever. You're going down. You're heading south, and like as you get over these mountains, like, the air changes. There's like more, it's like there's humidity and you can smell a change. And I love that smell. I love that smell of, ooh, here we go. We're getting close to the South. I love that smell. Here's another smell I love. Summertime, super hot out, rain on the asphalt. How great does that smell?
Rain on the asphalt.
Oh, yeah, when the asphalt's real hot and then a little like
yeah, light. I guess that's got a smell.
Oh, I love that smell. I love the smell of freshly cut grass. I love the smell of pumpkin pie. You know what I almost did yesterday?
What?
I love the smell of pumpkin pie. They say that, like, pumpkin pie is, like, the number one smell. Like, that's when they test people and find out, you know, what do you dig the most? Like, pumpkin pie is way up there. Holy crap. I was walking through the supermarket, picking up some stuff, doing some light shopping, and they had, like, a big cardboard box of these, like, holiday-scented pine cones. I almost grabbed a bag of them. They're, like, $8 for a bag of pine cones. And that's what stopped me. Because, like, growing up in Ohio around pine trees where they're just, like, laying around all the time, I couldn't bring myself to shell out $8 for a bag of pine cones. But damn, they smelled good. Man, yep. They smelled good. Oh, my God. My dad, when I was a kid growing up, I don't know how we got onto this, but I'm just steering into the curve of, like, smells that I like. On Saturday night, we would have, like, pizza night. We got my family. There's 5 kids. There's me. There's my mom and my dad. There's my grandmother down the street. So my dad and I and my brothers, and we'd all kind of help out. We would make just, like, pizza after pizza after pizza after pizza. And we oh, my gosh, the smell of my house as a kid just full of pizza smell, that's another one I like. That's a good one.
Oh, I love I love the smell of almost any bakery that bakes, like, bread and stuff, bread baking.
Get ready for this one. Here you go, Gimlet. And this is just so my oldest brother had a paper route, and actually had 2 paper routes. And so me and my other brother, we would help him out, blah, 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 blah. The Sunday paper was brutal because it was thick and you had to put the coupons in there and it was brutal. You had to get up extra early because you'd spend an hour just preparing the papers and then you had to deliver them. And then when the snow hit, just brutal, brutal. So then when my oldest brother moved out, then it was my next brother. He and I would do the paper route, blah, blah, blah. And I would help as much as I could. I was a little kid. I'd pull the wagon, whatever. Then when he left, it was just me. I didn't have any 2 brothers to help me out. It was a tough job. It was a tough job. 2 routes, 1 me, brutal cold. However, right on the corner of Broad Street and James Roads in Columbus, Ohio, and I know we have listeners in Ohio, you guys might remember this, there was a place, Blocks Bagels. And I think they're still in existence. I think the company is still around. Family-owned bagel company. But they had a little tiny store right there in this little tiny two-bit strip mall. And so I worked out the paper route, so that would be the end. I would be all done, and it's like it would be like 6 o'clock in the morning. The sun isn't even up yet. You're freezing cold. But these guys from Blocks, they're already in the bagel shop. They've been in there since like 3 a.m. or whatever. And I'm telling you, Gimlet, you couldn't see inside. The steam all over the windows. And I would go, and it was like, this is like out of a movie. This is like out of a movie. I would go, and they would have the door unlocked for me because they weren't even open for business yet. I would open up the door and this huge wave of steam. Like, I'm a little kid. I'm freezing my fingertips. I just delivered all these people's papers. I'm so cold. You open up the door, boom, the steam hits you. And they'd be like, hey, good morning, Mike. And they're all nice. And they would give me a fresh, hot And I would buy a bunch of bagels because I would take them home to my family because we'd have a big Sunday breakfast. But they would just make sure that I didn't leave there without a cinnamon raisin. And I'm telling you, it just came out. It just, oh, my mouth is watering right now. My mouth is watering. That's a great smell. Walking into a bagel shop at 6 a.m. in the morning. Oh my
God. I used to like cider mills too.
Cider mills? Like apple cider?
Yes. We're upstate New York and Georgia both are apple country.
Yeah.
Like I'm pretty sure Georgia grows more apples than they do peaches.
Really?
Despite being the peach state. Yes. No, up north Georgia is apple country. They invented the Honeycrisp, which might be the best tasting apple ever.
Are you kidding me? Is that where they invented the Honeycrisp? I'm not even kidding
you.
Yes. In Georgia.
You can go pick them here. Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No.
That is my favorite apple of all time. That is my favorite apple, hands down. Hands down. The best.
Ice cold.
I've had arguments with people about this. The Honeycrisp apple is the best. They grow them now in Africa. Too, in South Africa.
No, love the Honeycrisp. Also love the Pink Lady.
Pink Lady's not bad. Pink Lady's not bad. Apple Crisp.
But
Apple Crisp is the Zeus of apples.
Right? So, like, most of the cider mills where I grew up in New York would also be pumpkin patches.
Okay.
So you would go there and they'd be making cider and they'd be making fresh donuts and like fried apple pies. You also get fried peach pies around here. So like, yeah.
See, that's, yeah. I could go for a hunk of fried apple pie right now. I don't know why I'm so hell-bent.
They only ever made three kinds of donuts though. It was always plain, powdered sugar, and cinnamon.
You got to go cinnamon. The plain donut, listen, the plain donut, and I'm going to bum some people out right now. The plain donut sucks. That's a shit donut.
Even a cake donut?
Yeah. That's crap.
Yeah?
Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Why do you want to do that? Now, whatever. We're going to get hate mail. You know what else is an overrated donut? I'll tell you right now. The Entenmann donut, that's like a cake donut, but it's dipped in chocolate. People act like it's the second coming of Christ. I'm like, this is the most overrated donut ever. Give me a Krispy Kreme glazed, bitch. Give me a Krispy Kreme glazed. Give me an apple fritter. Now we're talking. Give me a...
Big fan of the ones that are filled with custard and have the chocolate on top.
Yup. Yup. Mm-hmm. That's a solid donut right there.
Or the ones with the apple filling and have cinnamon on the outside.
That ain't bad either. But you can take your plain donut and you can take your cake donut and you can put them right in the old leather Cheerio. Okay, we're gonna segue back into politics, and it's gonna be a rough one.
Did you? Oh,
no, that's fine. I said it was gonna be a rough one. It was gonna be a rough segue.
Oh yeah, and it's
and that just proved
so
my
did you
point.
See? Did you see everybody freaking out over those trucks chasing the Biden bus down in Texas?
Yes I did. And I'm not good at the hot take. I'm really not. That's why my Twitter account, the Loftus Party Twitter, you guys, if you're looking for the hot take, go somewhere else, because like there's a lot wrong with that. There's a long with, and in case you guys don't know, the video is this, and the video has been shown a million times and people are freaking out. The Trump, the Biden bus is going down some freeway, like in Texas or somewhere. And all these people with Trump flags in their cars, they're like going behind the bus and all this other stuff. And they're honking their horns and yada, yada, yada. And then somebody in a white car, and it's like, the video isn't perfect. You have to really, really watch it again and again. It looks as if somebody in a white car veers into the right-hand lane to get behind the bus, but there's a truck there, and they shouldn't have done it. Then the truck, and you don't know if the truck is reacting to the collision or what, but then the truck kind of goes, you know, to the left, and there's contact, and luckily nobody got hurt or anything. But
right.
If I'm a judge in that, I'm like the dude in the white car trying to zip over. From what I can tell, it's his fault. Shouldn't have zipped over. The truck was in that lane. Was the truck following the bus too closely? Maybe. But you can't just zip over into an occupied lane. And I guess Kamala, you say Kamala, I say Kamala. I guess they canceled an event because they were worried about their safety, which is kind of like a chicken crap way to go.
Because the ahead. only person on the bus was Abortion Barbie.
Was a what?
Wendy Davis. That was her nickname when she ran for governor, was Abortion Barbie. Because the only thing she's famous for is, like, I think she actually put a catheter in so she could filibuster and a law that restricted abortion in Texas.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, no, she's insane. She's insane. Best thing I ever saw with her was when Steven Crowder punked her during a woman's march by playing a really, really huge transgender dude.
Well, that is good for him. Good for Crowder.
Yeah.
And literally, I mean, it is ridiculous, but if I can, it's not in the far too distant future. If the Democrats take control and the liberals take control and the progressives just get louder and louder and louder, like I could see a world where it's not even a joke, but you can show up to work as a dude just late, and they're like, wait a minute, why are you late? And you're like, I'm having my period and I ran out of products. And there's nothing they can do. There's nothing
Probably
they can do.
Probably so.
I mean, the excuses will be great for not arriving places when you're supposed to be there. Listen, it's that time of month, and I was cramping like crazy. Like, Bill, what are you saying? Hey, it's not Bill. Today I'm identifying as Diane. And Diane just likes to dress as a man, and but yeah, I got the menstrual cramps hard today. So, what are you gonna do? It's crazy. Good for Crowder. I don't like the Trump people following around Biden like that. I don't. It seems
I don't know how I feel about it, but they certainly made a big deal out of a very little thing. When I guess I object more to the, oh my God, look what these Trump supporters did, when the left literally has people burning down cities.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would like a proportional response. That was kind of a prank.
Yes.
That yes. Something bad happened. It was a prank. It was probably all intended in good fun and really nothing else. But you have down businesses. So if you could just spare me your pearl clutching, then I probably wouldn't find that video as funny as I actually find it.
You know what it is, and this is too funny. Like as you're speaking, and I'm listening, and I'm like, I'm wondering what it is that I don't like about it. And you know what? And this is what's making me laugh. It's like it seems kind of like a bullying. It seems kind of like a bully move. And I'm like, it's because I like, oh, they're weak and they can't defend themselves and they can't stand up to it. It's like, I just see like these frail little vegans in a bus just freaking out. Like, we're scared. Oh, what are these? Like, what do they think is going to happen? What do they really think is going to happen? And like, where are the dudes? Like, man up, man the heck up. I changed my position. I'm pro trucks following buses around. If they don't like it, stand up for yourself. Stand up for yourself.
You know what I do like?
You like Honeycrisp apples?
I like seeing a huge Trump parade in Beverly Hills.
That was a big one.
That was a big one.
That was wonderful to see. And that's what... It's too funny. They would always say, here's a little thing that you would always hear in 2016. they would talk about these Trump rallies. They're so big, they're so big, they're so big. And all the pundits were like, hey, hey, don't mistake big rallies for big voter turnout. Don't mistake. A lot of people can have a big rally. That doesn't mean that there's going to be a big voter turnout. They would say, they're not saying it this time. They're not saying it this time. Mm-hmm. And those rallies.
And the difference, I was going to say, the difference this year is Trump had his rallies. They were campaign events. But now people are creating their own rallies with trucks and boats. I mean, there were cars lined up for 96 miles today in Arizona.
There is
96 miles.
It's weird. I feel this energy. I really do. I'm not even kidding you guys. I feel this vibe that in my gut, in my heart, it's like red wave, like a big one, like a big one. And we're going to talk about the media, some more stuff about Hunter Biden's laptop, the Mandalorian. It just occurred to me, we had our A block, our opening segment, and then we had Christy Swanson, and then we had our memory lane romp and smells that we love. So now, if you want to hear talk about Hunter's laptop, and if you want to hear about some Mandalorian Sean Connery stuff, that's going to be on the Patreon extras. So thanks for listening. I hope you're digging the show. I think this was a great episode. This one's suitable for framing. Put this one on the shelf. But if you want to join us over on Patreon, we're going to scooch right over there. We love you. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for listening. Go to iTunes. Leave some stars. I really wish I knew how to say I love you in Greek, but you know I do. Have a good one.